Welcome to the Allied Minds conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference is being recorded. I'll now hand over the call to Allied Minds.
Good morning. My name is Neil Pizzey, Head of Corporate Development at Allied Minds. Joining me today are Jill Smith, CEO, and Joe Pignato, CFO. Just before we begin, I'd like to draw your attention to the usual disclaimers in our results announcement regarding forward-looking statements, etc. We'll take these as read. A recording of this call will be made available on our website later today. Let me now hand over the call to Jill.
Thank you, Neil. Good morning, and welcome to Allied Minds 2018 first half results call. In terms of the agenda for this morning, I would like to begin with a quick recap of progress during the first half, then report on our individual portfolio companies. Joe will then summarize the financial results before handing the call back to me for concluding remarks. Our clear focus remains quite simply on driving commercialization and monetization across our portfolio and increasing the pace of new investments. Since the start of the year, we've made substantial, tangible progress in our portfolio companies and made three new investments, including one new business created. We delivered results against all of the drivers of success that we've previously highlighted, namely bringing strategic trade and financial investors into our funding rounds, in terms of building strong management and governance, and thesis-based investing. First, in terms of our strategic co-investors, the quality of partnerships at Hawkeye and Bridgestat speak for themselves. Like Federated strategic investors, Raytheon and Boeing bring invaluable resources and market reach and provide strong technical and commercial validation. We are anticipating equally strong market leaders to invest in STT and, more importantly, sign commercial agreements. When concluded, all four of our top companies will have secured financing from and partnerships with industry leaders. Second, we've made several director and executive appointments across the portfolio to strengthen our management and governance. This week, we announced that John Kisbert will step in as independent chairman of Spin Transfer. John is a seasoned semiconductor executive with a demonstrable track record driving sales growth and crystallizing value for shareholders. Bob Dempsey, who runs Shire's global ophthalmology business, has joined Cyflor's board. He is a highly regarded for the transformational work he has led at Shire, including the highly successful acquisition of Zedra, which is an eye drop treatment for dry eye. The fact that our companies are able to attract such sought-after executives is a testament to the prospects for our portfolio. Third, we've made good progress on the origination front with three new investments, each in line with our themes. Keychain and Table Up leverage connectivity and data to enable so-called smart locations and applications that improve supply chain management. Orbital Psychic leverages next-generation space-based capabilities and data to monitor infrastructure, initially in the oil and gas sector. By focusing on core themes where we have competitive advantage, we're able to build deeper relationships with relevant labs and broader executive and customer community, enabling us to more effectively source and resource new companies. As a result of the above and the hard work by our teams, we believe that our portfolio has never been stronger or better positioned to deliver returns for our shareholders. Particularly exciting is for the first time we're in a position where we have multiple companies in the portfolio on the cusp of commercialization. Federated Wireless, Hawkeye, and STT all expect to deliver revenue in 2019. We acknowledge that in many ways the intermittent timing of our news flow understates the progress being made on a day-to-day basis, and we are pleased to provide you with this more detailed update today. Page 4. As we turn to the company updates, I remind you that we have 7 technology and 4 life sciences companies. We own a majority stake in almost all of our businesses and provide hands-on support to manage and govern them. Each business targets very large and growing markets, typically with transformational technology. Now to the individual portfolio companies. We expect spin transfer to shortly consummate significant commercial and financing agreements with two industry leaders. Based on the commercial terms and resources committed to these agreements, we expect SCT to generate revenues in late 2019. The first pending agreement involves SCT granting a license to an industry leader to jointly develop and commercialize its endurance engine technology, specifically for the embedded SRAM market. Under the second pending agreement, SPIN will be granted a license by another industry leader to combine its magnetics technology with STT SPIN Polarizer to deliver turnkey magnetic solutions for foundries targeting MRAM for non-volatile and SRAM markets. Further, STT has entered into a conditional term sheet for a financing round led by these parties. We are delighted by the scale of the opportunity that these partnerships create for STT and the validation of the distinctive and potentially transformational impact its technologies can deliver. STT's fundraising has taken much longer than we initially anticipated, reflecting the complex simultaneous negotiations on multiple commercial and financial agreements. Our goal throughout has been not just to finance the companies, but rather to set the business up for success through commercial partnerships that can bring the resources and market reach to enable MRAM to ultimately replace the multi-billion dollar SRAM and DRAM markets. We are confident that our willingness to be patient, to bridge the company, and stay focused on helping STT secure the right partnerships will deliver strong value to our shareholders. This confidence is bolstered by the fact that under Tom Sparkman's leadership, we've been able to attract top talent to the team, including Andy Walker last year, who's been instrumental in driving our product focus and helping to secure these partnerships, and John Kispert as chairman. We could not be more pleased. Moving to Federated Wireless. The recent announcement of the FCC's initial commercial deployment, known as ICD, means that Federated Wireless is on the cusp of commercialization. ICD is a program under which the FCC will permit commercial deployments of CBRS spectrum sharing technology as a final precursor to full FCC certification. Federated has applied to the FCC to deploy CBRS commercially with 15 partner end users in 16,000 locations nationwide under this program. Federated has met all its milestones in terms of scaling its operations and preparing for commercialization this year. It is midway through the deployment of its EFC network around the U.S. coast, which protects priority access for the U.S. Navy. It expects to be the first company to have a fully deployed network in Q1 2019. Given its technical leadership and role in the CBRS community, as well as its backlog of current and pending commercial agreements, Federated is well positioned to take a substantial share of this rapidly emerging large market. Page 7. Hawkeye 360's Pathfinder is scheduled to launch with SpaceX in late Q4. And once operational, the company expects to begin generating revenue from its strong and growing contract backlog. Hawkeye is fully prepared for launch. Confidence in its design and capabilities led Hawkeye to launch a financing round to accelerate the development of its commercial clusters, which will expand its constellation to provide more capacity and capabilities to support its customers. The company recently announced that it successfully closed this round, led by Raytheon, including Sumitomo and other strategic trade and financial investors. The broader partnership with Raytheon brings substantial commercial benefits to Hawkeye in terms of resources and market reach, particularly into the U.S. government agencies who are the key target customers. During the period, Hawkeye also launched its initial Maritime Domain Awareness Seeker product, which is in beta testing with 8 customers. Over the first half, BridgeSat has been focused on operationalizing and demonstrating its LEO optical communications network and expanding its technical capabilities to address other markets, including geo and aviation. In terms of the former, BridgeSat deployed its network operations center and first ground station. Its initial LEO customer successfully delivered its satellite to the International Space Station, and BridgeSat expects to start end-to-end testing of its optical downlink network with this customer in Q4. Boeing's investment in BridgeSat's recent Series B round and the broader commercial partnership with Boeing, signaled by this investment, are key to the development of other market opportunities and represent a powerful vote of confidence in BridgeSat's model, technology, and capabilities. Boeing will also take a board seat, and we look forward to working with the team. Having successfully completed its two Phase 1-2 trials for SF-166 for wet AMD and DME, SciFlor is preparing to launch its first Phase 2 trial, now expected in 2019. In the Phase 1-2 trial, we successfully demonstrated its safety, ability to reach the back of the eye, and a biological effect for both DME and wet AMD. The posterior of the eye is an area of great interest to the ophthalmology community. As a result, SciFlor has been able to attract recognized leaders to its advisory board, which provides critical support in helping to design and prepare for the Phase 2 trial. Bob Dempster's decision to join the board is also strong validation, and he is already actively involved in all aspects of the business. The next steps for SciFlor include completion of a six-month tox study, which started later than planned as we completed the work necessary to finalize the study design. We expect to conclude a financing process ahead of the launch of our first Phase 2 trial. We believe strongly that there's substantial value inherent in SF-166 and in the SciFlor platform, and we look forward to moving the business forward. In Q1, Precision Biopsy received IDE approval from the FDA to move forward with its Cohort B pivotal trial. PB initiated the first phase, which involves roll-ins to validate the Cohort B ClaraCore console, the results of which are not part of the pivotal trial. Based on the initial results, the decision was made to gather more data prior to launching the full pivotal trial. Improvements made to the ClaraCore console were found to impact the performance of the algorithm, so we're taking the time to gather more data and further validate the algorithm. As you're aware, such modest delays are not uncommon. Also, Adam Savickas joined the team as COO. Adam is a seasoned medtech executive with deep regulatory and clinical experience. Based on the steps taken and the algorithm results that we've seen to date, we're confident that we're on track to initiate the full pivotal trial in Q1 next year, implying an expected six-month delay versus a plan presented earlier this year. Page 11. Moving to our earlier stage life sciences companies, LuxCath advanced preclinical work on its OmniView product and materially strengthened the team. Of note are the highly respected cardiologists that have joined the scientific advisory board and the experienced independent directors that have recently been appointed. Additionally, Terry Ransbury, a seasoned product development executive, joined as full-time CTO with initial focus on helping to prepare for and deliver its first clinical trial targeting CE mark in 2020. Signature Medical was formed in 2016 and has already attracted outside capital from Riot Ventures and Bose Corporation. During the period, Signature also formed a highly respected scientific advisory board, advanced the development of its acoustic air prototype, and filed IP. It is preparing to initiate human data collection. Both are very promising companies making good progress. Page 12. Our earlier stage technology investments, Orbital Sidekick and TableUp, are both on plan. As minority investments, we do not intend to provide the same level of detailed updates. We recently announced a really fascinating new company, Keychain. Keychain was formed from leveraging our depth of experience and networks relating to CBRS and the emerging opportunities to create so-called smart locations. The company plans to enable smart industrial hubs by deploying private LTE networks and proprietary connected devices and sensors to generate real-time data. Finally, we've made a decision to cease additional funding of ABLS and to seek strategic alternatives, which may include a sale of our interest or other orderly exit. The ABLS model provided a thoughtful route to engaging in drug discovery while mitigating some of the risk inherent in this activity, and we achieved many of our goals. However, we determined that the time and capital assigned to or committed to ABLS could be better allocated to those areas and activities where we have competitive advantage. Also, our strategic alliance with GE Ventures has not borne fruit to date, so expired by its own terms earlier this month. I will now turn it over to Joe to provide a financial summary.
Thank you, Jill. Please turn to slide number 12, where I'll discuss some key financial metrics. Ownership adjusted value, OAV, is estimated to be $350.1 million at September 25th, 2018. This amount is down 11.5% from previously reported. The decrease is mainly attributable to the reductions in the OAV for CyFlor, Precision Biopsy, and Spin Transfer. The reduction of the valuation for CyFlor was due to the adverse impact to the company's clinical and regulatory plans as a result of delays in a planned financing during 2018. The reduction in the OAV for Precision Biopsy was due to the delay in the Cohort B pivotal trial now expected to start in the first half of 2019. The reduction in the OAV for Spin Transfer was due to the anticipated valuation that the company will finance at in Q4 2018 pursuant to a signed conditional term sheet. These reductions were offset in part by increases in OAV for both Hawkeye 360 and BridgeSat due to financing rounds at each that closed in Q3 2018, and also from the new investments during the first half of 2018, Orbital Sidekick and TableUp. The combined value of the top six currently represents 92% of the total OAV versus 95% as last reported in the 2017 annual report. Overall, $22.6 million was invested in the portfolio during the first 6 months of 2018. Of this amount, $10.3 million, or 45%, was invested by co-investors. Cash held at the group level as of June 30, 2018, was $132.2 million. Overall, $39.7 million was used to fund operations during the first 6 months of 2018. Parent level cash at June 30, 2018 was $66 million. This quantum of cash provides us with adequate reserves to run our business into 2020, including making new investments at an increased pace from last year, and planned follow-on investments in our current subsidiaries. Stepping back, we knew that 2018 would be a big year in terms of financing activities for our portfolio companies. We have delivered great progress so far in attracting Raytheon, Boeing, Sumitomo, and others. We are building upon the successful Federated fundraise last year that included Charter, Harris, and American Tower. We are satisfied that we have made the right decision to prioritize strategic investors where appropriate. The commercial advantages that have come with these partnerships are real and substantial. We have already seen evidence of this in our portfolio. But we have also found that negotiating financing and commercial agreements in tandem can take more time due to the additional inherent complexity. It often requires us to be patient to be sure we do it right. It also requires us to use our judgment and to provide bridge financing as appropriate. We are setting our companies up for success in the long term, which ultimately means building value that positions each for an exit at a premium valuation. We are excited to replicate this model in the pending spin round and look forward to sharing more details upon completion. I would now like to hand the call back to Jill for her concluding remarks.
Thank you, Joe. In conclusion, I would highlight once again that we're delivering against our goals to drive commercialization and monetization and accelerate new business investments. We're systematically strengthening the management of our businesses with experienced execs, greater accountability, and industry leaders joining our boards. Once STT's agreements have been concluded, we will have successfully financed each of our top technology companies in partnership with Tier 1 strategic trade and financial investors. As a result, STT, Hawkeye, and Federated Wireless all expect to achieve commercialization in 2019. We're looking forward to launching the next phase trials at SciFloor and PB, both of which have attracted new talent and advisors. At the beginning of the year, we refocused on new investment and have made three to date, with our most recent, Keychain, a business born out of a thesis that leverages our unique competitive advantages in connectivity. We have much to look forward to in the balance of the year and moving to 2019. Our focus, as always, is on execution and delivery. May I take this opportunity to thank our shareholders, partners, and our employees for their commitment and ongoing support. I would now like to open up the call for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question or 02 if you need to cancel. Our first question comes from the line of Nick James Newmis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. A few questions. I guess first on Federated and STT, where it's coming into kind of this key phase when we start to see revenue generation. Can you just help us understand kind of how you're thinking about the size of the revenue opportunity for both of those companies? And I guess you've talked a little bit about Federated before, but STT have got a lot more kind of meat on the bones in terms of how we're going to see the revenue generated, and so how do we think about the size of that revenue potential over the next few years?
So obviously we haven't given any revenue guidance on any of our businesses. At our Capital Markets Day, Federated did outline the medium-term opportunities, and we are fully in sync and on plan relative to the, that revenue opportunity that we had highlighted. In terms of STT, Nick, we're obviously going to hold on providing any guidance until we have formally announced all of the agreements that that we've highlighted today.
Okay. I think what you said in terms of the agreements which you're finalizing is that they effectively open up the entire memory market, it seems, is what you're saying there. Is that the right way to think about it?
Well, the two agreements highlighted are focused primarily on the non-volatile and SRAM markets. We are, you know, as we've highlighted, the largest market, DRAM, is still it's part of the sort of the bigger opportunity for MRAM, and we expect to be able to sort of fully realize that opportunity with other partners.
Okay, but by non-volatile, we're saying NAND, which is obviously a very big market.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I guess just on the healthcare companies, obviously a little bit of a delay on the trials, but just for the avoidance of doubt, is there any kind of change in the kind of the longer term outlook and views on the bigger issues and problems that these companies can potentially address?
No, thanks very much for the question. Absolutely no change in terms of our view of the outlook of either PB or SciFloor.
Okay, cool. And then the last one would just be on the cash. Joe, if you can just kind of take us through a little bit in terms of how you get to your confidence that the company's well-funded for operations into 2020, I think you talked about increasing the rate of new investments. So yeah, that would just be really helpful just to kind of bridge that gap.
Yes, Nick. You know, as we've discussed before, cash is earmarked under our plans for investments into subsidiary fundraisings, along with strategics and new investments. We model out what our expectation is going to be on rounds that'll be coming up that are in front of us for the portfolio, and then have certain assumptions on how much it'll start to do seed rounds and early A rounds and things along those lines. So we've got a pretty healthy model. We've followed it year to date, and there's been no discrepancies from it, so that we do have great confidence that we have the adequate cash on hand.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ken Rumpf of Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Jill, Joe. Congratulations on the progress at Hawkeye and Bridgestat and so on in the half. Can I just start with taking a look at the write-downs to the preferred shares? That's basically around 50% on spin transfer, 30 on Cyflor, 10 on precision biopsy, just round numbers. Should I consider that as a guide to sort of changes in the GSOAV?
So Ken, the valuations for the preferred share liabilities in OAV, they are initially based off of the same valuation work. But the methodologies to get to both numbers at the end of the day are different. The process we follow for the preferred shares is a little bit arcane. The common shares come into it. It's very focused on IFRS 9 fair value accounting and things along those ways. So it's rather prescriptive versus OAV being, well, you know how we calculate that based off of ownership adjusted value. So they do have the same starting point, but there are different processes for each.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, those numbers don't sound absurd in terms of, you know, your verbal comments, and they kind of appear to add up to me. So, you know, that feels like a kind of order of magnitude reasonable. Just to add to that, you appear to have written down the Hawkeye preferreds, and yet, to my mind, things are going well at Hawkeye, value went up and so on. So I assume that is arcaneness rather than anything, just a cap structure thing rather than anything else.
Yes, correct.
Cool. Okay, if I may go on to follow up on the cash point. You had 84, went down to 66 at the parent level. I assume that the kind of three moving parts are, so to speak, the burn at the center, investments that you make from the center, which you said was 12 million. Should I also be adding in the syndication of the spin transfer loan as an inflow to the center during the half? Is that sort of the third part of the jigsaw, or is it just the first two?
It's just the first two.
Cool. Okay. Righto. I'll ask a final question and drop back out and return and let other people have a go. Just on spin transfer, the description of the kind of second industry leader deal whereby you in-license their magnetic technology and use the spin polarizer technology with it. All in all, that sounds like you're using that endurance engine and spin polarizer IP and not perhaps pursuing we're going to make our own MRAM devices route. Is that fair, and does that mean kind of also lower costs required for the business or lower cash required for the business going forwards?
Joe, do you want to take that as you've been so intimately involved with STT?
Yeah, for sure. So the first two deals are licensing deals, as you're pointing out. So the expectation is that we would have lower cash to be able to service both of those. Again, they're both initially targeting the first with the endurance engine on the embedded SRAM market and the second on the magnetics on non-volatile and SRAM. So we'll be working together to target those, and the expectation is that it'll be lower cost than what you suggested in the other alternatives.
Cool. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions on the line, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. Okay, and it's a follow-up from Ken from Jefferies, as no further participants have come through at this point. So, Mr. Rump, please go ahead. If your phone is muted, please unmute. Your line is open on our side.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you now.
Sorry. I'm here with Lyra trying to work out if you could. Okay. Sorry. So back again with a couple of further questions. Firstly, Cyflor, a tox study? I mean, presumably that is a sort of go-no-go thing. There were some minor adverse occurrences in the original trials. So clearly that needs to pass for you to proceed, yeah?
So yes, it's a critical part of any study life cycle, as it were. We don't have a great deal of concern. In terms of 166, it was proven to be safe in the phase 1-2 trial. Fundamentally, the Cyflor platform is about taking molecules and modifying them to create the sorts of capabilities that 166 has, and so they were known to be safe up front. So we are not expecting that to be a sort of a nail biter in any way, but rather just a standard course required as part of any cycle.
Okay. And funding for Cyflor, are you anticipating that this would be a Cyflor funding or a deal specifically on SF-166, or it's open for the moment?
We expect it to be Cyflor and expect it to support both the phase 2 study, the phase 2 trials for 166, and continuing to drive the platform. As we pull that syndicate together, we may modify the relative emphasis and or prioritization of how we allocate those funds, Ken. But right now, based on the people with whom we're in discussions with, anticipate that we will continue to push forward on the platform.
Okay, final one from me on Hawkeye, Pathfinder launch at the end of the year. What does that represent, a first cluster, excuse my ignorance of satellite launches and so on, or you need further launches to have a cluster and then build that up to offer further revenue-generating services? I'm just, at what point have you got enough satellites to sort of provide something useful?
Great question. The Pathfinder involves a cluster. And so each cluster is, in order to deliver the capabilities for a customer, you need the cluster for geolocation as well as for, obviously, the sort of the core capabilities, which is RF detection. And so we anticipate delivering revenues once that Pathfinder is operational. And so the quite significant backlog that Hawkeye has is built first around services delivered off of Pathfinder. The next step then is to launch additional clusters, the commercial clusters, and the first of which has been financed by the recent A3 round involving Sumitomo and Raytheon.
Is there a schedule for the first commercial cluster then, if you're sort of booked ahead in launch schedules?
So having just completed the financing, what that represents is now the build cycle starts. And so we can anticipate, for all intents and purposes, a year end-to-end between placing the order and launching. With obviously getting launch dates, that happens later in that end-to-end process. But very excited by the revenue potential, even from the Pathfinder cluster, that is expected to be launched. Hence our confidence and sort of thrill about where the business is right now.
Well, as you say, three businesses into revenue next year and valuations perhaps adjusted accordingly around the portfolio, it does look promising. Thanks very much for the answers and sorry for the communication problem there. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. Our next question comes from the line of Harvey Robinson of Whitman Howard. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, morning, guys. Just a couple of questions on STT and then a quick question on ABLS. You previously said, I think back at your Capital Markets Day, that NAND flash would be a sort of medium to long-term market, but the gating item being the density that you can achieve on MRAM. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is still the case. These initial agreements that we are focusing on are specific to mostly to SRAM and embedded SRAM, but yes, that is still the case.
Yeah, NOR flash. Okay, and just on that, I mean, you were quite specific before about timing, about when you thought this VRAM for STT would close, and understand the complexities, not least being a public company negotiating a private round, but do you have any timescale for us on when you think the deal will close?
We're expecting them to close in the coming weeks during Q4.
Coming weeks, okay, thank you. And finally, I think I've been confused by the ABLS cash situation before, but you refer to releasing money back into, I suppose, the core business, if you like. Is there any quantum of money that you could guide us to that can be is being released by this, or is it all captured in the cash?
The money invested to ABLS to date has not been significant. If you remember, it was a $10 million upfront investment shared by both BMS and Allied Mines. It was originally $10 million. That's been to fund the first initial four programs, originally envisioned up to 10. So the dollars are not significant, Harvey.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions, please dial 01 on your telephone keypads now. As there are no further questions coming through at this time, I'll hand back to our speakers for the closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for participating in the call today. As you've heard, we're in great shape right now. We're in a materially different place than we've ever been, looking forward to commercialization with multiple companies and the progress made on all fronts. So we are looking forward to progress later this year in 2018 and to sharing news with you through the rest of 18 and into 19. Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye.
This now concludes the conference. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect.